The more stylized and serious the show, the more it invites parody, and it would be difficult to imagine a more ripe target for satire than Game of Thrones, with its dark and brooding tone, its exaggerated violence, and its reimagined Dark Ages setting. The night is dark and full of terrors, but that didn't stop Basil Considine and his cohorts from reimagining the popular TV show as a family-friendly musical. Game of Thrones the musical is coming to Hawaii, and Basil is on the line to tell us about it. Good morning, Basil.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I would imagine this was a pretty irresistible target for parody. Am I right?
It was. And, in fact, a lot of other people have done this in various media. There is a high school dating sitcom parody. There are game show parodies. But I thought there was a lot of room to do a musical, and especially to approach it from an unusual angle, which is how I ended up writing a Sesame Street-style parody complete with puppets.
Well, I would imagine if you're aiming for a family-friendly audience, you've got to back up on some of the violence, for one thing, yeah?
Well, actually, there was one area that we backed off a great deal. There is no sexual violence in this.
Uh-huh.
100% certified rape-free, as we advertised it in Minnesota.
Well,
and also 100% nudity-free, which made my cast very happy.
Yeah, I dare say. It makes me happy to hear it, Basil, because... But, you know, the fact that it takes itself as seriously as it does is kind of what makes it a target for satire, yeah?
Oh, yes. To send up something that has no depth is very light, but to have something that has rich meanings and that resonates with people in different ways, that's when you start being able to have real humor and to hit other themes as well.
Well, what were the first things that you sort of went after when you were putting together the show?
Well, there are a couple really well-known lines in the show that we just had to do something with, and one of those was "You Know Nothing, Jon Snow,"
uh-huh,
which became a children's nursery rhyme song in the show. Another was the line you gave earlier, "The night is dark and full of terrors,"
uh-huh,
which works its way into several of the scenes and monologues, as well as one song that Melisandre sings when trying to get Jon Snow to give in to her charms.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the whole Starks dying right and left. We took the song "The Reigns of Castamere," which is alternately known as the Lannister song and the "Someone's Gonna Die" song among Game of Thrones fans.
Uh-huh.
And we play with that. So every time someone important is about to die, you hear that sung. And for some of the puppets, that's a clue in of, wait, something's wrong. And then, of course, they die terrible deaths.
Well, so it's puppets. Is it live actors as well?
Live actors and puppets.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with the British genre of panto.
Yeah.
Where you have a number of people, and part of the fun is that they're playing all these characters really fast, wigs flying everywhere, putting on costumes. And so we use the puppets in part for that. And people will go back and forth. The main characters are live actors acting with their whole body. But the people who tend to live shorter lives are portrayed by hand-arm puppets.
Because they're more easily disposed of, I would imagine.
Yes, and because for some reason using puppets makes everything funnier.
Yeah, it's sort of, I could see that. Well, you have the sort of the incredible complexity of, you know, when I've watched the show, I'm constantly getting mixed up over who's whom,
mm-hmm,
you know, with these different families. Do you sort of take that on, you know, the warring family themes?
Yes, and one of the challenges for the show was condensing such a rich amount of material down to a show we could do in under an hour. So we take each season and have some core part of the story that is presented as a special scene. You know, it's called out. The first one is The Tragic Tale of Eddard Stark, a puppet pantomime farce. And we run through season one, and it, of course, ends with his getting his head chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, we run through each other season with the key narrative. We can't do everything, of course, but it's enough so people who have seen the show or seen the most famous bits on YouTube, we'll definitely have a couple jokes just for them.
Well, you know, I was looking at the song titles for the show, and one of them is addressed to the character Jon Snow, and it's asked him to cheer up, which I think a lot of people would have liked to see for years now.
Well, I don't know about that, because there's a large number of women who still go for the tall, dark, and brooding.
Yeah, that's true. Sort of the modern-day James Dean with added layers of fur, yeah?
Get the fur and the leather.
Yeah, that's right. It's something for everyone. Are there, dare I ask, are there dragons in your show?
There is a brief appearance by dragons. Of course, the budget, whenever you have dragons, not only does it take a lot of money to feed them and then they burn things down, but yeah, they're really hard to check. So yeah, we managed to sneak the dragons in for one scene.
Well, you know, they don't appear that often in the show, probably for the same budgetary reasons, right? That's an expensive shot to get a bunch of flying dragons.
Quite.
Well, let's see. How many in your cast have you got, Basil?
Well, in the original production, we had 7 cast members. And then when whittling it down to Hawaii in order to stay under budget and still be able to fly across the Pacific, we whittled it down to 5. So I was actually the music director pianist for the original production, uh-huh, and this time I'm taking a place on stage because I know the show well enough, having written it, to be able to manage some of the really fast transitions.
I would imagine. Did it, in some ways, did it kind of write itself? I mean, did you have a lot of input from the cast and, oh, you got to do a song about the dragons, or you got to do a song about Jon Snow, that kind of thing?
We did have a lot of input from the cast. So I would write scenes and monologues and songs and bring them in, and we did a extended workshop process, and the things that the cast really liked, you know, it was always clear from the beginning. You know, there were some scenes that were funny, but they were the ones that grabbed them, too. And that ended up shaping the narrative in some unexpected and unplanned ways.
So that really enhances your work as a writer, doesn't it, the whole workshop process?
Well, I am in the happy position of being able to take credit for things that other people gave input on, so there's that.
That's a secret.
It was a marvelous process. I'm definitely going to do this for some other pieces.
Well, that's a secret that many writers have benefited from, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. A chorus line was developed in a similar fashion where they just kept workshopping and bringing things in, and people would say, yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Or, I don't love that, but it makes me cry, and so we have to have it anyway. And if it's just one person making those calls, you might not end up with this fine, elegant balance.
No, that's how you make a show. Thanks a lot, Basil. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Basil Considine is the stage director and one of the performers in Game of Thrones, the musical, which will be performed next Thursday and Friday at Next Door in Honolulu, and Saturday the 21st at Iao Theater in Wailuku, Maui.
John, John! Cheer up, John Snow!